Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This is part of being a young starting pitcher in the league and trying to make progress. As you have to get 15, 18 outs in a game, it's difficult. It's hard to see now, but there is growth happening. It's hard to like the growth when there's struggles going on. But that's where the best stuff comes from. So we just got to keep working on it and improve the quality of the execution. Keep going.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That, of course, Craig Counsell talking about Ben Brown. Mm-hmm. And that is, it's a very good way to look at it. I don't know that many people can feel that way as the game ends. But he's absolutely right, isn't he? Isn't that what you're after? You need 18 outs out of the guy.
Yeah, but you can't, again, you can't sacrifice the runs that he's giving up for the outs that you want him to get. Run preventers outweigh out getters. And if you were a developmental team and you were a team that was content with winning 83 games again for the third straight season, you could justify sticking with a guy who's struggling like Ben Brown. If you are the Cubs,
yeah,
you can't. You have different expectations. This is a different season. This is the season that your manager challenged your team executive, your team president, to give him a 90-win roster. And you have to stay consistent with that thought. So when you have Ben Brown, a young right-hander who is struggling mightily, and struggling with consistency, he can be lights out. And for a couple innings last night, you're like, wow, this is the guy that went toe-to-toe with Tarek Skubal in Detroit. And wasn't that a cool moment? This is the guy that struck out Ohtani. And this is the guy that shut down the Dodgers and looked so good against the Reds. And wow, he's also the guy that gave up 4 two-run home runs last night. And you can't tolerate that moving forward. You've got to have higher standards. You've got to do something in response. And if you're Craig Counsell, you can't announce that or declare that or indicate that right after the game, because you've got to be right here all the time.
Yeah.
Right in the middle.
He is that. He really is. I'm just saying, and listen, I'm under no illusions as to what happened last night and how bad it was. It was god-awful. And you got... you got beaten pretty good, and Dustin is right. It's a baseball season. There's 162 games. But that was sort of statement game from the Cardinals. They've thrown a gauntlet down.
It was the first time you saw your rival.
Respond. Yeah,
it was the first time
you played
them
this year, and they let you know that they're still your rival.
Empty ballpark or not, 100-degree conditions or not, whatever it was, it didn't matter to the Cardinals. They came there with an intent of roughing up a young pitcher who was susceptible to it. And you're right, making a statement for the first of a four-game series. Tonight, the Cubs can counter. Jameson Taillon is the right guy to have on the mound tonight.
He's your run preventer.
He is your run preventer, but he also is going to give up a couple of homers.
Yeah.
You watch. Tonight, he'll give up 2 home runs. He'll go 6 innings. It'll be the quality start that Dustin hates and rolled his eyes at right now. Oh, God. Why do you hate that so much? This is consistency that you don't have from other pitchers.
It's not a quality start when you allow home runs. That's not quality.
Runs are runs. What does it matter if you have a double and a single?
He allowed a lot of solo home runs.
Yeah, they're solo homers. And I'm the one who pointed it out.
4 two-run homers.
Well, let's see what happened. He said he was going to work on that he was finally aware that was an issue. He's had a week. Let's see how him and Tommy Hotovy did.
He was pretty good last time out, correct? Jameson Taillon wasn't bad. So I think that tonight is an opportunity for him to beat the Cardinals, or at least give the Cubs, put them in a position to win a game and turn it over to the bullpen for a pitching staff that needs a strong outing. They've really struggled. The last five games have been really something else with the Cubs pitching staff.
They've lost four of them.
You didn't expect it. They've lost four out of five.
That's right.
And it's a bad time to do it, but every team goes through this kind of stretch. I just think now if you're looking big picture, you can be Craig Counsell, even keeled, long season. The next game is the biggest game, and all we want is pitchers who can get out. All right? That's fine. Congrats. You've achieved the Zen-like approach that every manager needs. Now, if you're us, you're like, Ben Brown's got to go, and you need to win tonight, and you need to get back on track because the whole summer is dependent upon that.
Who needs to go more, Colin Ray or Ben Brown?
Ben Brown. Colin Ray is proven. He's a versatile major league swing guy. He can be somebody whose psyche isn't necessarily affected by moving to the bullpen. Ben Brown, and this is not, but
you just said it, moving to the bullpen. I'm not saying who needs to leave the roster, who needs to go down. I'm saying who no longer should start. And I would argue both of them.
I would think that both of them have
probably
done
Ray
very
over,
little
yeah.
in the last 5 weeks to justify staying in the rotation. Here's what we have to look at the numbers. Both have, in the last 48 innings for both guys, Colin Ray has a 5.92 earned run average. Ben Brown, 6.94, according to Cubs.com. Neither guy has been that effective over the last 48 innings. They haven't gotten – the outs that they have gotten have come with runs that they have given up. So give me run preventers over out-getters. Stop congratulating guys for getting into the sixth inning. That's what we have to get back to, I think, if you're the Cubs. And you're right. Both guys are susceptible to being replaced. It's just who you to replace them with. Shota comes back Thursday. Great. Welcome back. One guy's got to go. I wonder if the corresponding move will be Ben Brown going to Iowa. I just wonder if that's going to be the result.
He's got options.
Well, that's the thing.
He's got options.
Different. Yep.
He's got options, and you don't – but the thing is, you have to be – you can't be so casual, cavalier, as I just said it, because I know they won't be. We'll talk to Tommy Hotovy. Hopefully tomorrow is his regular hit with us. Ben Brown is somebody who, as you pointed out earlier in the show, Molly, works with mental skills coaches like a lot of players do now. You worry about his confidence in being sent down because it's a far cry. Pitching for the Iowa Cubs, far cry from matching pitch for pitch for with Tarik Skubal, the Cy Young winner in the American
familiar.
League.
Familiar, yeah.
I mean, if you're pitching in Iowa, that's a big come down.
Yeah, but that's baseball. And there are thousands of examples of guys that have big roles and then they're down in the minor leagues. And then they come back up and they get their role back and everything's okay. I just don't think – I mean, listen, you know, there are different guys that are slumping. And that is just the reality of what's going on right now with the Cubs.
And then there's Pete Crow Armstrong, 2-for-3 last night, and he saved a home run. Another great play in center field. He does something every night, the way the great ones do, that make you say, "Wow!" And he is on quite a roll. And so you like what he supplied. And how there were some good spots last night. I know it was a dismal game to watch.
It was dismal.
How about the Carson Kelly hustling?
That, you know what?
Down the first baseline.
That was one of the best. Like, that is what you're supposed to do. But when you see a guy do it and they get a guy out because he's doing exactly what his job is, you want everyone to, like, stop, look at that. That's how that's supposed to be done. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. That was a heads-up play. That was a guy following and doing his job to perfection. That was great.
Yeah,
I actually stopped that and watched it again because I thought it was – let's take a listen.
To St. Louis.
Swinging a high pop fly shallow right. Coming in Tucker near the line. Can't get it. It's a base hit. There might be a play at first. The throw to the catcher, and Arenado is out. Kelly hustling down the first baseline, followed the batter. Kelly right on the bag at first. Great play by Carson. And Arenado, a good 20, 25 feet beyond the bag, tried to jam on the brakes and fell down. And that further complicated his dilemma. And then he was out on a single and then 9-2, a very unusual play.
It was indeed.
It's a great play.
So the first baseman kind of drifted out, Justin Turner.
Yeah, he went out. They were all running for the ball.
So it was out there, and it was kind of a blooper.
It falls between three guys.
Alert veteran, Carson Kelly, former Cardinal, by the way, he sprints down, and he's backing up the play. Arenado's caught in no man's land, essentially.
Arenado looked like he thought he could get a double on it and then realized that's not happening.
I'm not that fast.
And then he tried to hit the brakes.
Yes.
And he goes down in a heap,
and
he pops back up, and he's out by a quarter mile.
It was an easy play.
Oh, my gosh.
All because of the hustle.
That's right.
All because of the heads-up play. That's a great catcher.
Yes.
That's a guy that when he
really
does
well
that,
done.
Like, well, that's a guy that's going to be a manager one day. You know, that's a future that's a catcher that's going to be a future manager. Carson Kelly heads up, and that was nice. And at that point in time, you thought, well, the Cubs brought their A game because that was a second inning. And you thought, all right, this is going to go pretty well. And then it didn't.
Yeah. Let's get to John. John's listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, John. That was good.
Hey, guys. I'm enjoying two quick questions. What do the coach and the pitching coach say to these pitchers when they go out? Because they must be talking about Coca-Cola's, because the next batter seems to hit a home run, and then Ian Happ. Man, what are you doing, man? That's literally what he's doing. Bases loaded. He saw the batter before him walk, and he hit the ground out on the first pitch. I'll hang up here.
Not laughing at you, just laughing at the frustration, because it is relatable. Ian Happ did exactly how you described it. But at the same time, he's coming off a game he just hit two home runs. So you're not too critical of Ian Happ coming into this Cardinals series because you trust his judgment at the plate. That's why he's still batting leadoff. They trust his judgment to grind out at bats and to be the guy that every now and then will run into a long ball. And I didn't have a huge problem with Ian Happ.
No. No,
it's hard to quibble with what he's doing, even though I would love for the day to arrive when PCA is your everyday full-time leadoff hitter. I will keep harping on that until it happens. I just won't do it as frequently, but I do think that's going to be inevitably where he lands in the lineup, even though he's such a good run producer.
Yeah, you mentioned Turner 0-for-3 again.
Yeah.
And
not good.
And Matt Shaw he walked, I think, but he was 0-for-2.
Had a real nice play, though, defensively.
He did. He walked. Yeah. He hit the ball hard once, and he did play good defense. I'm not as down on Matt Shaw as some people are. I know that he has leveled off, and certainly I don't think he's regressed to the point where he was before they sent him down. I don't think he's there. He's not on a Colson Montgomery-like slump.
He's in a slump.
He's in a slump?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in a slump.
Yeah.
Nobody's denying that.
He's not in a Colson Montgomery-like slump.
Yeah.
So, in other words, he is, as a starting third baseman in Major League Baseball for a team that's leading its division, he's doing okay as opposed to a guy that is in AAA and had been sent to Arizona and has been...
Well, Matt Shaw is playing first base, or third base for a first-place team. And he's playing the defensive portion of it very well. I do think he's struggling at the plate in a Colson Montgomery-like way, but I do think that...
Send him down.
I don't want to send him back down. I think my criteria and their patience level should be different for Ben Brown and Matt Shaw. I think it's all about your alternative. You have a better alternative when it comes to Ben Brown than you do at third base with Matt Shaw.
What about if you're starting Vinny Capra? And you got Colson Montgomery rotting on
now
the line.
To the White Sox. Yeah. No, Colson Montgomery is in a slump, as Chris Getz did allude to before the game, in all seriousness. It's a serious situation because Colson Montgomery is hitting 135 in his last 15 games. So they can't send him back to Arizona. I think the Camelback spot is all booked.
I don't know.
I don't think he can go back there.
Could they send him to Birmingham?
No.
Did he spend enough time in Birmingham?
No.
So if he has stopped
progressing, it's a conundrum. It's a conundrum.
I mean, he seems, and I'm being honest, I'm not trying to be mean, he seems more like a double-A player than a triple-A player, let alone a major leaguer.
Well, the only thing that really matters, not to everything that, about what you just said, is that he's not. He doesn't look like a major leaguer.
Well, he doesn't look like a triple A player.
Well, he did though for a short period of time.
Very short period of
time. Yeah, it was a small sample size, but at least he has proven he can hit triple A pitching. And now he's slumping again. Now he needs to have another resurgence, but he's never proven he can be a major league hitter.
I don't know that he's ever proven he can hit triple A pitching. Seriously.
He's hinted at that.
The best he's done since going to triple A was in Arizona,
mm-hmm.
right? And that gave them a belief that, thank God he got beyond that horrible year last year
mm-hmm.
during our spring ball, and now he's ready to be a major league shortstop. And that isn't the case
yet. It's not the case. He's not there yet.
I thought they were going to bring him up. I think they wanted to bring him up.
They have a team with 10 rookies. Of course they wanted to bring him up.
But he hasn't.
Of course they would love to bring him up.
They
can't bring him up.
He struggled. They sent him to Arizona. He came back and did better. And now you're telling me 15 games he's been batting. What is it?
135.
That's not good, man.
No. And you can't promote somebody who's hitting 135 in the last 15 games. Now, by the same token, you wonder, how can the Cubs play Matt Shaw third base, who's hitting 150 over his last 15 games? Different situation. I think Matt Shaw has proven in glimpses, in small sample sizes, that he can hit. I just don't know what he's done to maybe start to go the other way. He's got to rediscover what worked when they brought him back from Iowa. And thankfully for the Cubs, it's not affecting his defense, because that's why I think he's still in the lineup.
I agree.
He's a defensive certainty. And he gives them that kind of security that your pitchers want and need. But you can't survive on this all season long.
But you were the guy who said yesterday that you were, you know, that your priorities were get a starting pitcher.
Same.
But you hadn't, you thought they could do with a veteran third baseman.
Well, I think they're going to be looking.
Yes.
Ryan McMahon, we have a texter, says, I don't think Eugenio Suarez is available.
No.
I don't think he's going to be available, because the Diamondbacks are not in sell mode. That's the problem. They're going to leave Chicago in a couple days with two more victories maybe. And they're going to be a team that feels like they can
maybe
be buyers rather than sellers.
He also got hit in the hand last night, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he didn't. It didn't look good.
Did not look good. We have any results on that
X-ray
MRI?
X-ray is negative, but still, I'd be shocked if he played tonight.
Yeah, it's pretty fast. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, and I don't think I would be dangling Matt Shaw in any trades.
Oh, I wasn't suggesting
that. I said the texter suggested
it. Is that
yeah.
right? Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that.
No, I wouldn't do
that. I think he's going to be okay.
But my priorities remain the same. Starting pitching, starting pitching, starting pitching. You need an ace. You need a top of the – that may be overstating it. You need a guy who's capable of being a top of the rotation starter.
You know, you've got a third in Taillon. You need, if not a first, another second. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not sure Shota is a number one, but he's a one or two. And you need another guy as good as Shota.
Focus should remain on Sandy Alcantara, a former Cy Young Award winner. Regardless of what he did in April and May, start to focus on what he's done his last five or six starts. He is a guy that could project as your ace and fit very nicely. Alcantara 1, Shota 2, Taillon 3, Boyd 4, Horton 5. That, to me, would be a rotation you can win the division with, you can contend for a pennant with, and a team that would be there to be reckoned with.
Well, you know who's got a deal coming? Bruce Levine. I believe he told us yesterday.
Let's be clear when we talk to him and welcome him that we say, yes. Bruce, do you have anything you'd like to start with? What is the name and what is the news?
Yeah, we're going to bring in Bruce next, and we're going to get out of our own way and just find out what he knows instead of letting us direct him until he says at the end, oh, by the way.
Yeah.
What?
No bearing the lead today.
All right. Bruce Levine next, Molly and Haw on the Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to our guy, Bruce Levine, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline, your hometown tire. Check him out, Aturo.com. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Which battered Chicago team do you want to talk
Which
about
one is making
today?
A big trade?
You tell us, Bruce.
We're following your lead.
You're the content provider. I can't wait for your TikTok page.
Name names.
Name names? Mully and Haw, my go-to place every morning, Monday through Friday, until 10 o'clock.
Well done. What's going on today?
Today, we're looking at a battered Chicago Cub pitching staff that is in need of Imanaga, who's coming back on Thursday, and need of for some lengthy starts from their rotation. The bullpen is beat up, as you saw. Yesterday, you saw Craig Counsell do what managers hate to do but have to do, and that is give up a game, right? He had to give up that game yesterday in the fourth and fifth inning because his bullpen from the weekend was totally worn out, and they're in the midst of 19 games in a row. It doesn't end for a while here. So he leaves Ben Brown in a game where you see the game get away very quickly. That's something that, unfortunately, Brown is getting known for, you know, pitching really well, making other teams look bad for three or four innings and then falling apart quickly. And yesterday was certainly apparent with the walk and the homer and then another walk after he hadn't walked anybody in the first three innings. So Counsell was well aware of what was going on, but he had to sacrifice that game to get another inning at least out of Brown, and that was it. You know, that's the baseball season. That's the time that they're in right now. You're angry as a baseball fan that they have to give it up, but that's just the reality of where they're at right now.
So, Bruce, did you find out any more yesterday after dropping a hint with us? Do you think the Cubs are any closer to making a deal? And if it is the Marlins they're talking to about Sandy Alcantara, would they still be interested in Owen Casey?
Who said Sandy Alcantara?
I did. We did.
Oh. So that's your source is saying it's Sandy Alcantara?
No.
Okay. No, I mean, it wasn't Sandy Alcantara, and I'm not sure today that they're any closer than they have been. Than Sunday night, they felt they were close to a deal. The names have been, you know, bandied about a little bit, but the reality is that that deal hasn't happened. It's not happening right now, and we're just going to have to continue to look at the Colorados, the Pittsburghs, the Oaklands, the Marlins. Those are the sellers, and as we've heard from Hoyer, probably. How many times have we heard this is going to be a seller's market? Okay. Well, that means that there's probably only four or five teams that feel, as we're approaching the All-Star game and halfway point of the season, that they're out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you look around baseball, I mean, there'll probably be more teams involved. And I would look at the American League Central as we start moving toward the deadline, as teams like Kansas City and Cleveland, who are and have been contenders over the last couple of years, to maybe be have pitching and other players available because they're not going anywhere right now.
So are you still on that timetable that you talked about yesterday? Are they on
that?
They
have to make a trade.
A week or 10 days, though?
Well, I can't pinpoint it at this part.
And has that changed from yesterday?
No, I mean they're feeling that they have to make a deal.
Yes.
It's every day right now. However, are they going to make a deal to satisfy you and me and David? Because we know they have to make a trade. No, they're not just going to give people away. They need more than just one pitcher, right? I mean, they need fortification probably in the infield. You know, the production that they're getting right now from the infield, you know, outside of first base and shortstop is not good, right? You have, you know, Nico Hoerner, who everybody loves, and, you know, we talk and write stories about Nico all the time. He hasn't produced in the month of June. Matt Shaw has not produced in the month of June. You have a combination of the two guys in the month of June with one homer, three doubles, and three walks. Okay, so the production is just not there. You don't like to pick out players that have improved. Shaw has been dramatically better at third base, outstanding there, if you want to use a term at third base playing defense. Nico gives you the gritty performance every day, but the production of the offense is just not there right now. 65% of their home runs over the last, or 65% of their runs have come via home run over the last 3 weeks. So they're not producing runs like they were earlier in the year, and they need to add to that as well. So it's not just about adding a pitcher here and sending Ben Brown to the minor leagues. There's a lot more going on.
Well, Bruce, let's deal with that specifically. When Shota comes back pitching Thursday, the corresponding move we do wonder about. Could that be, or how likely will it be, that Ben Brown is demoted to Iowa?
I would say it is a real possibility, and I think Ben knows that as well as anybody else. I mean, he first of all, can we agree that he's a starting pitcher? Yes or no?
I don't know that he will be if he stays in the major league on the major league roster.
Well, I mean, so what's best served for the Cubs and Brown? I think it's probably going to Iowa and extending out and continuing his track toward being a really good major league pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to do that is to extend his innings, go down there, have some outings that you're going 6-7 and dominating AAA players, which he should be able to do, and then be ready. You know, be ready for the inevitable, which is people get hurt, people are ineffective. Those are things that are going to happen. And the depth that you have with a really good young pitcher who's still learning the trade and loses his command like he did last night, where we've seen, you know, countless times where he's pitched six innings and he's been really good, or he runs into that one inning and he totally loses the command of his pitches and he gets clocked. So there's a lot of talent there. There's a lot to like about Ben Brown, but it's not a demotion. It's a continuation of player development. That's how I look at it.
Hmm. Can I ask you for updates on some pitchers with the White Sox? Just wondering.
Yeah, Hauser and Savali will be traded. Is that what you're going to ask?
No. I am curious. Jonathan Cannon is supposed to pitch today,
yeah.
Right? Three
mm-hmm.
innings in Charlotte.
Right.
Davis Martin has a forearm strain, which is terrifying to hear, but apparently wanted to pitch through it. What's his status? Is Cam Boozer with the shoulder? Is he going to be coming back? Where are they at with...
Yeah.
I heard Chuck Garfine talking to Brian Bannister on the on his podcast regarding Hagen Smith, and I got to tell you, Brian Bannister, every time I hear him talk, it's just the guy is so transparent in what he has to say, and he talked about why they shut him down, what they were thinking, and what he was doing wrong, and how they have changed that, and he could be back pitching pretty soon too.
Yeah, so, you know, you're right about Smith. When you look at Boozer, he's doing better. They were concerned that it was worse than it was. So He's continuing to try to come back right now. I would say my major concern is with the best pitcher in the White Sox this year and what's going on over the last two starts.
Yes.
That is Smith. And he really didn't have any answers for us last night when we talked to him in the post game. He just said, you know, wasn't good. I wasn't hitting my spots. You know, talking to Venable, they got him out of there after two innings. You know, they felt 60 pitches was enough, considering he didn't have his command. It's two in a row, which is concerning for what people were writing stories about over the last week or 10 days about how he's going to be the White Sox all-star guy. You know, the one guy that's standing above. Well, he's having his own pitching and player development issues right now. So a lot going on there, too. I would say that, you know, the Savali-Hauser additions have been a team saver, even for a team that's, you know, only won, 26 games or whatever it is. It's really saved some of the other guys. And talking to Getz yesterday, you know, in the second half, you're going to have to get ready for other young pitchers to maybe not get shut down, which is not the White Sox way, but to go the route of what they did with Crochet last year. Shorter outings, you know, continue to pitch, but monitor the innings pitched and the, you know, stressful innings. That's how they're looking to develop some of these young guys as we move forward toward the second half.
Bruce, you asked some good questions to Chris Guest yesterday before the game, and he addressed, number one, I thought, the Luis Robert situation and how much he communicates with him on a regular basis or not. And then the other thing was whether or not he's counting on the Justin Ishbia investment to result in his increased flexibility with the payroll. How would you address those two things?
I'd say that he told me that right now they're not counting on that money for this year. And going into next year, we don't know. I mean, we don't know if he didn't give us he wasn't able to give us a direct answer other than to say when we need the money, we feel that it'll be there. Okay. Right now, what he's telling you is we don't have a competitive enough team to go in and bring in expensive free agents right now. I don't think we could argue that right now. Now, starting in November, when I'm doing shows with you guys once every two or three weeks, we're going to talk about probably do they have money, and that'll be the number one issue. Can they go out and fortify this team where they have pitching, but they don't have position players that can hit or hit with power? So that's the question mark. How much money will they have for that? Because other than Montgomery, the two Montgomerys continuing to develop, they don't have any power at the big league level right now. There's no one that's going to hit a home run for you other than, you know, Vargas once in a while. That's about it. So you can't win big league games without slug, and they don't have it at this point.
You know, we keep talking about the Cubs and what they're going to do. When you talk about the Sox, is there anyone they wouldn't trade? I mean, obviously younger guys, but anybody with a little age on them, wouldn't they want to move them?
Well, let me ask you this. Would you trade, since you have two good young catchers, would you trade one of them?
No.
Not the young catchers.
Not until you know for more.
Yeah, not until you know which one's better.
Those are Barstool
would you?
Conversations. No, not right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not right now. I think later on, as you know, they develop, those are probably the two of the better things that you got going, right, position-wise. You know, I love the grit of both of them. I love the ability of both of them. It's hard to develop two young catchers at the same time, but you can do it. Again, what do you really have to trade that's of interest to anybody else other than, you know, two veteran pitchers? What are you getting back for that, you know, at the deadline? You hope that they're both pitching lights out, Hauser and Savali, over the next month. Hmm. But, you know, the reality is, what are you getting back? And if you trade Luis Robert, you know, everybody's been harping on, let's trade him. Well, yesterday, Getz said, yeah, we're prepared to that he might be with us for the next 2 years.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, that's it,
well, I mean, why say it unless you mean it, right?
I mean, I have theories as to why you say it, whether you mean it or not. I think you could
suggest that he's saying that to make teams think that he's willing to or wants to keep him, to make it harder to trade him.
Well, they don't care.
I know you said that, and I think you're probably onto something there, Bruce.
No, the reality is that they're prepared in their mind they have to keep him, but are they putting $20 million, or are they putting, you know, 25% of their payroll, or 20% if they go up to $100 million, for one player who hasn't been productive offensively? And the answer will be, can he be, non-tendered? Can that happen with Brown going into next year if he doesn't improve offensively? Those are the things we'll be looking at in the fall.
Good stuff, Bruce.
Great stuff, Bruce.
All right, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Have a great day.
Thanks again.
That is our guy, Bruce Levine. Always fun to talk
to him. Always fun to talk to him.
No question about that.
He led us in a direction we would need to discuss when he come back.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Who said Sandy Alcantara?
I did. We did.
Oh.
That Bruce is something else.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Making us work, keeping us guessing.
Yeah,
you
we're
love it.
Sitting here so, going over the AL
in today's
Central.
Episode of What Is Bruce Thinking?
Yeah.
Without telling us, he alluded to the AL Central without really saying who, but he did kind of turn us away from the Sandy Alcantara possibility, which I'm not giving up on yet. Just, I don't really care what Bruce says. I'm not giving up on that idea yet. But
he said the AL Central.
So the AL Central. So I think that you look at teams who, right now, it's a Tigers division.
Tariq Skubal.
No. They're
Come
not.
On.
They're looking for
Dustin,
starting pitching.
That would be a good acquisition.
Okay, that's silly.
That would work.
That's Swing silly.
And miss stuff.
They are looking for pitching because they are a team that is one of the handful of teams you could envision being a World Series team. And they're going to be in the same market for the Cubs, which is why I think the urgency exists too. If you're Jed Hoyer, you are competing with the Cardinals and the Brewers. They're going to be there for a while. But in the trade market, you're competing also with the Detroit Tigers and everyone else that wants a starting pitcher and is a viable World Series contender. So AL Central, the first name that comes to mind, if he mentioned the Royals, if the Royals believe they're out of it.
Michael Wacha.
Seth Lugo is the name that I would probably mention. Seth Lugo would be the name that I would arrive at as a, if you're talking about a tradable guy on a AL Central team that would be an impact acquisition, it would be Seth Lugo. And he's a guy that at the end of the season faces an option, and he could opt out of his contract, and there's a possibility that the Royals may want to trade and get something for him before that happens, if they conclude they can't catch the Tigers.
I think you're looking at the wrong team.
Okay.
I think you should look for obvious reasons.
Can we say we?
Okay.
I'm left on an island here.
I'm all on board. I'm saying, like, think Guardians.
All right.
Think Cubs connections to the Guardians.
Carter Hawkins.
Think young guys that you may have seen that you think are ready to pop.
Okay.
And I don't know that that's the case. I'm just saying, if I'm looking at a roster, I would think about the Guardians, given their history of what they've done with pitching and the history of Carter Hawkins having been there for much of it.
So they don't have as many obviously tradable assets that would make an impact. You want to look at AL Central and the Twins. I thought you were going to go there because Joe Ryan would be very appealing.
Yeah, I mentioned Joe Ryan.
Joe Ryan is a guy that you could think of as being an impact guy.
Yes.
But I just don't know about...
He's kind of
what?
I just don't know that he's good enough for what you're expecting, Mr. David. You're looking for for
I am in search of the next Rick Sutcliffe.
16-1 Rick Sutcliffe. Yes.
Who is my 1984 version of Sutcliffe? Who is your knight in shining armor?
Honestly, I think Scuba could go 16-1.
They're not trading Scuba. That's ridiculous. Scuba is going to make another run at the Cy Young. He's going to lead the Tigers likely into the postseason. And they are going to be a team to be reckoned with in the American League. I think right now they are the best team in baseball for a reason. They have some injuries, though. They have to overcome that. Pitching injuries are going to be something every good team deals with.
Oh, this is frustrating.
It's not that frustrating.
No, they haven't got a pitcher, and they're not going to get a pitcher. And what pitcher are they going to get? And let's look at every roster. And I find it frustrating.
Okay.
I need a little more. Throw me another little hint of a breadcrumb, and I'll follow it.
All right, I'll try to find another name. I think that when you talk about the A's, he did mention the A's again. And Luis Severino, when you look at his numbers, his
splits. And he wants out of there, right?
He wants out of there.
Wouldn't you? I mean, I know they had a big powwow yesterday, and I'm not supposed to use that word. I know they had a big meeting yesterday in Vegas, and they're talking about the building and how they're headed to Vegas, but they're in Sacramento, and that must be horrible.
It must be horrible, which is why his splits away from Sacramento are outstanding.
All right. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.